Thank you very much for joining us. Welcome to the France 24 debate. I'm Mark Owen. A new chapter of the COVID pandemic opens with a new variant emerging from southern Africa. It's been named Omicron by the World Health Organization. The Global Medical Group's director has this Monday called for world cooperation to try to combat this new threat. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus says the issue of vaccine equity will be key to getting through this next massive wave.
More than 80% of the world's vaccines have gone to G20 countries. Low-income countries, most of them in Africa, have received just 0.6% of all vaccines. We understand and support every government's responsibility to protect its own people. It's natural. But vaccine equity is not charity. It's in every country's best interests.
Vaccine equity is not charity. Perhaps the words we should retain for this debate. Our guests to discuss what we're facing, what we should do. Here in the studio, Vivian Kovis-Masfeti, who's a psychiatrist and an epidemiologist. So two useful perspectives there. Professor of Public Health at the University of McGill and the University of Paris. Vivian, thank you so much for being with us here in the studio. Joining us from afar in Botswana, first of all, Dr. Kereng Masusupu, head of the Presidential Task Force Against COVID-19. Dr. Masupu is actually leading the fight against COVID-19 in Botswana. Thank you, sir, for joining us. In Hanover, in Germany, Albert Osterhaus, Professor of Virology from the University of Rotterdam. Thank you, sir, for joining us very much indeed. And from Montpellier, in the south of France, Irène Tolleré, member of the European Parliament for Renew Europe, joined by a dog as well in the background, I think. We're always glad to have our animals taking part as well. Their views in a moment, our guests, of course, standing by. First, to set more about the scene, a report from Catherine Viette here at France 24.
Scientists are in a rush against the clock as they try to determine just how dangerous the new coronavirus strain is. First discovered in South Africa, the Omicron variant has shown itself to spread quite quickly. This has caused governments around the world to once again implement travel restrictions as officials hope to contain its spread. The World Health Organization has already classified Omicron as a variant of concern.
We don't yet know whether Omicron is associated with more transmission, more severe disease, more risk of reinfections, or more risk of evading vaccines. Scientists at WHO and around the world are working urgently to answer these questions.
Scientists are very concerned about the more than 30 mutations in the spike protein, which could affect how infectious the virus is and its ability to evade the body's defenses. Another unknown, how sick do people get with the new variant? Some doctors have been reporting mild symptoms, while others say they've seen some very severe cases in South African hospitals. Scientists say it will take at least 2 weeks before more concrete information is known about the Omicron variant. In the meantime, pharmaceutical companies are already working on new formulations for their vaccines, while public health officials stress the best protection remains getting vaccinated, wearing a mask, and following social distance guidelines.
We don't know a lot, it seems, but we do know this virus is possibly the worst variant ever of COVID-19. Let's bring in for the first comment Vivian Kovis-Masfeti, psychiatrist, because clearly there is a psychiatric and psychological aspect to what we're going through right now, which you and I have discussed before, Vivian, I know. Epidemiologist, you can give us an aspect on that too. And of course, your public health hat is going to be extremely useful during this discussion. What are your thoughts about what's happening right now? There is a lot of concern and a lot of what some people are calling knee-jerk reaction. Are we reacting in the right way?
First of all, you say it's at the worst mutation we got, but actually we do not know. It may be light, it may be very severe, it may be, we don't know. So we have to assume uncertainty. And of course, to assume uncertainty is difficult, is psychologically difficult, but you know, since the beginning we know that there are a lot of scenarios. One of the scenarios Which is the worst? Is that a virus will come and vaccine will not be efficient? However, I think that now we know enough to know that vaccine will adapt. I mean, even now we are talking together, you know, as you know, people are working on adaptation with Irian vaccine. It's probably easier and it will be very fast to produce. And at any rate, everybody was prepared to the worst scenario, hopefully. So to come to the psychological consequence, of course, people will be disappointed because everybody has the feeling that it is over. So, you know, that's the point that, no, it is not over. But, you know, even in France, where people have been quite well vaccinated, I think they do not really abandon totally the mask and the distance. So, you know, I'm not sure it will be so much change actually until 2 weeks when we will know what happened exactly.
Uncertainty is the thing. Vivian, thank you very much indeed. Let's go to Botswana where Dr. Keren Masupu is waiting for us. Dr. Keren Masupu is the head of the Presidential Task Force trying to tackle COVID-19. Thank you, sir, for being with us. We spoke, you and I, last Thursday when this story broke and when cases were discovered in Botswana and, of course, in South Africa. Can you just update us on the situation where you are, please, at this very moment?
Good evening, sir. Thank you again for inviting us to share our story in Botswana. At the moment, we've had 19 cases of the new variant confirmed and others that are still being investigated. Our situation, basically, as regards to overall COVID, the response remains intact and the same. We have not seen a very huge surge of cases. We've noticed a slight upward swing in our number of cases that we are picking up, and our positivity rate is also on the increase. But for now, we are still dealing with much more detailed investigations. My colleagues have pointed out, there's still a lot of unknowns about the variant, whether it will actually establish itself like the Delta did. This we don't know. Whether the severity will be enhanced, we don't know. Our ability to detect it, however, remains intact because we did detect it and submit it for the global community to see, where we got a knuckle on our hands because while sharing, then the result was us, the travel bans and so forth. So that is the situation on the ground in Botswana, sir.
Dr. Masupu, thank you very much indeed. We'll come back to you very shortly for more comment. We appreciate your presence, sir. Thank you very much indeed. Let's bring in Albert Osterhaus, who is a virologist at Rotterdam University. Dr. Osterhaus, thank you very much for being with us. We're hearing that uncertainty is the kind of catchword right now as regarding this situation. What is your kind of feeling scientifically, but also instinctively, about what might happen next?
Well, perhaps first of all, I would like to correct you. I'm not from Rotterdam anymore. I'm working in Hanover these days.
Hanover, no problem. Thank you, sir.
Okay. So basically, there's a lot of uncertainty, as you said. And the uncertainty is threefold, basically. It's about the severity of the disease. It's about the spread of the virus. And it's about, does the vaccine work properly? And I think all these three fields, we have too little information to date. I think I would like to thank the colleagues from South Africa to really be so quick on the ball and really investigate this new variant so thoroughly in a very short period of time and communicating that to the rest of the world. The good news is that, as was said before, that the diagnostic assays that we have, virtually all of them, perhaps with the exception of one, still work very well for this virus. So we can definitely follow it as it's going on.
So in terms of the vaccines, I mean, I know AstraZeneca were quick to say that they thought that their cocktail of vaccine would actually work well against this new variant. Are you saying that basically all the vaccines will basically do that job?
Well, not all the vaccines are based on the same principle. So we really will have to see what's coming out of the epidemiology. How is the virus going? What do we see in people who are vaccinated? But also laboratory tests, of course. We can test antibodies of people who have been vaccinated and people who have been infected before, whether those antibodies in the blood of people do recognize the virus and to neutralize the virus. This is still not known. And the only thing we know is that we have mutations, quite a number of mutations in the spike protein against which the vaccines are directed. And as a matter of fact, we can speculate at the moment that there may be some reduction, as we have also seen, for instance, for the Delta variant. But it's not improbable that also for this variant, the vaccine protection will have gone down to a certain extent. For the Delta variant, it was not dramatic. And most of the companies that are producing vaccines to date, they actually speculate that it's not going to be too much and that there still will be a reasonable protection by the vaccines. But again, I think we have to wait for the laboratory data on the one hand, and those are in vitro data, so data obtained with anti-sera from people and animals, but also from animal experiments. And the proof of the pudding, obviously, is at the end of the day, is the epidemiological data in people who have been vaccinated or have experienced the infection.
Professor Osterhaus at Hanover University, virologist, thank you, sir, for giving us that upsum. And we're still left with this idea that we don't quite know yet where we stand. The uncertainty is the thing. Wait and see is something that people don't like to hear in these circumstances. And let's bring in now for more the MEP from New Europe, Irène Tolleret, who joins us from Montpellier in the south of France. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you very much.
There will be obviously political fallout on this one, which may well fall on your head. I don't know. I mean, it's one of these things. But where do you stand on the current situation? What is your feeling about what's happening right now?
I think that it's too early to say. The World Health Organization has called the variant a very, very high risk, and the G7 is holding an emergency meeting of health ministers in London. So it's a very good because we need coordinated actions. Luckily, the people infected in South Africa with the new variant of Omicron are not seriously ill now, but we can fear that this new variant is at least as contagious as Delta. That's why we need to keep intensifying the vaccination campaign and also keep social distancing.
Indeed, the G7, as you mentioned, Irène, they're talking about greater global cooperation. And Tedros, the Director General of the World Health Organization himself, saying that vaccine equity is not charity, basically saying it's essential. Would you agree with that? Do you think, for instance, in your position at the heart of the EU, more influence can be put on Europe to share its vaccines?
I think that Europe is already the first producer, the first exporter, and the first donator of vaccine. But the first thing that we need to agree on is that the COVID-19 pandemic will only truly end when everyone has access to vaccination or if we have found a remedy, including people in the poorest countries. Out of this concern, COVAX was born. The only global mechanism that works with government and manufacturers to ensure that COVID-19 vaccines are available worldwide to help both high and low income countries. So far, COVAX has shipped over 563 million vaccines to 144 countries. To continue providing vaccines to its 190 members, COVAX needs at least $3.2 billion. So the sooner the funding target is reached, the quicker the vaccines will be available to everybody.
Irène, those are very impressive figures for COVAX, and it is worth pointing out, as you've just said, that it is, you know, the most sort of widespread or wide-ranging effective way of getting these vaccines to other countries. And it's obviously hats off to the EU for coming up with that. Nonetheless, though, I think it's something like 80% of the vaccines go to the G20 nations, which is, again, another hard fact, which I think raises concern. Irene, can I pause you, if you don't mind, and bring in Professor Vivian Kovis-Masfeti here in the studio again. We'll come back to you soon, Irene, for more from what you were saying, because it's really interesting. Professor Kovis-Masfeti, this idea that, again, it's the rich world that are getting the vaccines. It's the poorer world that is struggling to vaccinate people. We've just seen this weekend Emmanuel Macron and the First Lady here in France getting their booster jabs. And that's all well and good, and they should get their booster jabs because they can. But in other places, people aren't getting a vaccine. And this is probably the crux of the matter, isn't it?
That's true. I mean, it's a very sad example of what happens if we don't provide vaccine to everywhere. So it's sad that it happened that way. But as a matter of fact, what happened now is a clear illustration that, you know, if you don't vaccinate everybody, it will, by definition, spread on a lot of variants. And ultimately, maybe it's not the case now, but it may be the case sometime, that we face a virus that will escape from vaccination. So it's true that we are sharing the risk, and we should do something about it. But, you know, as you know, it's not so easy.
Indeed.
To find the money and to find even the concrete possibility of providing the vaccines to those who need it.
Indeed. And then as well as that, you have the other issue about those people who don't want to be vaccinated. I mean, obviously, there are demonstrations in parts of the French Caribbean, which we are told ostensibly are about people not wanting to have obligatory vaccinations. Other people there say, actually, there's another issue going on here about poverty and unemployment. So clearly, things coming together into a really explosive head there in Martinique, Guadeloupe. There are other people, prominent people around the world, who are against vaccination. I'm thinking of Jair Bolsonaro, for instance, who's spoken with great scepticism about vaccines and about the old issue.
I mean, the point is you address to me as an epidemiologist. So the point is the number. You know that you will have a small percentage of people who are anti-vaccine. That will be maybe acceptable if there are not too many. That's the point. In addition to that, I should say, when they are doing demonstrations, they take the risk of being infected and being infected. That will be so-called, they will be vaccinated that way. So I think that's a question of number. And actually, in France, it's not too much. And we worse could have been. In Martinique and Guadeloupe, I think apparently there is a very specific context. I mean, it's not so much the vaccine, because, you know, the resistance to the vaccine is a sort of mixture, because people who are fearing everything, let's say with paranoiac threats, that mean, you know, everything will think to them a threat. And people probably who are ignorant and do not know so much the scientific basis of the vaccine. It is a bit bizarre because, in fact, for example, in France, we have quite a few vaccines that are mandatory. But, you know, even among doctors, you have people who are reluctant to vaccine, which is really bizarre. So you see, it's a mixture of some paranoiac threats and some ignorance and people who probably are capitalizing, you know, on this, which is a bit sad.
Indeed. I know at least one, say, professional sports star who says, well, you know, don't get vaccinated. What's your kind of immune system for? Why have you got to take this vaccine? But I know another sports star, they're both playing the same team, one of the top English team, who says, look, people, get out, get vaccinated. He's a Brazilian. He says, look, everyone in Brazil, get vaccinated. It's what you should do. It's the important thing to do.
And so the media, as a matter of fact, because we are on media now, you know, they have an important role. But, you know, always will be a small set of people that you will not convince. And, you know, we have to accept that.
Thank you very much indeed, Vivian, for those thoughts. Let's bring in Dr. Keringa Masupu, who's in Habaroni, capital of Botswana. Dr. Masupu, thanks for bearing with us. You mentioned 19 confirmed cases in your country right now. You're leading the fight against COVID-19. I was in your country back in October. I was impressed by the measures that I could see everybody taking. It was almost uniform, people wearing masks, people really taking it extremely seriously. And I imagine that is due to the work that you've been doing. Are people in Botswana prepared to dig in even deeper against this disease?
I can confirm, sir, that they are. At the moment, through the effort of Botswana, we have our country at a prevalence of about 10 people per 100,000, which is really a real effort if one considers where we came from. The surveillance is on. That is why Botswana is among the first countries that actually detected this variant on the 23rd, just like South Africa, I think, followed very soon with that same effort. So Botswana are ready to dig in their heels and actually fight and defeat this. The issue, as you have raised, is the vaccines. I think Botswana, as you are aware, we are using multiple vaccines, multiple access. We can confirm that at the moment, the predominant number of doses received is those that Botswana directly went to on a bilateral mission and then followed by the multilateral platforms like the COVAX. The vaccines are slow to arrive, and that continuously expose the larger part of the population to succumbing to the infection of the virus.
So you would completely agree with the words of the WHO chief, Tedros, who says that vaccine equity is not charity. It's something that's really essential.
I completely concur with this way, sir, that the global community need to understand that. I think, again, from the same source, we are not going to be safe until all of us are vaccinated. That's when the world will be safe. To close borders and do these other extreme measures is not sufficient. It can only delay the issue to materialize in the time to come very soon. So the way to do it in a sustainable manner is to get everybody immunized equally. Thank you.
South Africa's Health Secretary, Dr. Masupu, South Africa's Health Minister, was criticized in the reaction from the likes of the EU in cancelling flights to and from Southern Africa. Clearly, the tourism sector in Botswana is extremely important too. You've taken a hit already during this pandemic. I'm wondering what the situation and the feeling is where you are about whether it's the right thing to do to stop the travel. Do you think it was the right thing to do? Do you think it was just a knee-jerk reaction? Was it the wrong decision, do you think?
Well, one would not say it's completely wrong, but on a sustainability metrics, we don't believe that is the most objective way of dealing with it. We have other tools that have been executed, at least here in Botswana. We've used the objective tool of testing, and then using that to allow movement, because as we intervene to fight the pandemic, we need to allow life to go on. And part of that activity for life is traveling. If you shut down the borders, you ban the flights, it means even the tools that we use in the world where I live, you are also suspending them because they come by the very flights. And therefore, it is a knee-jerk reaction. It is a measure that will be very short-term value. In the long term, let's go for the scientific and objective criteria of what do we do to intervene and then optimize on the containment and control of the disease.
Dr. Masupu, for the moment, bear with us. Thank you very much indeed. Let's go to Hanover to Professor Albert Osterhaus, virologist at Hanover University, standing by for more words of wisdom. Sir, thank you for waiting for us there. The idea of vaccine equity, I think everyone agrees, is the way ahead. Could you give us your thoughts?
Well,
Yeah, I fully agree there that vaccine equity is absolutely crucial. And I think, as has been said before, that the fact that we see new variants coming on, I think that at least in part is due to low vaccination levels in, for instance, South Africa. And I think this is an issue that will be going on for quite some time if we don't vaccinate more people in the world. And vaccine equity, as a matter of fact, is absolutely a priority. Whether indeed this means that the vaccines that are being used in Europe, for instance, at the moment should be used in Africa, I think these are two separate things. I think the COVAX initiative is a very good initiative. It should go faster and more money should be made available. Plus, I think it's quite important also that also for the future that we have sufficient capacity of vaccine production, not only in Europe, in the US and those countries, but also there will be local production as well. For the time being, obviously, it's quite important that we try to match, and that indeed the vaccination levels in countries like Africa is going up. It's not just Africa, of course, as was said by Dr. Tedros. Yeah, it's a small number of countries using the vast majority of the vaccines. That's not just, and I think indeed we should put all our efforts into that to see if we can indeed vaccinate more people in the world more efficiently. I think I fully agree.
What would you say to those people who still hesitate about getting vaccinated?
Well, that's a very difficult issue, of course. I think as we see in countries like Germany, the Netherlands, where indeed there's a high vaccine uptake, but there's always a small minority there that actually does not want to get vaccinated. And those are often people who are quite mobile, younger people who don't want to get vaccinated as well. And this means that the virus keeps spreading. And since we have waning immunity after vaccination, as we see in elderly people at the moment, so this still causes problems there. So we should keep up our vaccination levels as high as possible. Obviously, everyone has the right, in principle, to refuse vaccination. But I think what can be done, and it's being done at the moment, indeed, is that the certain privileges that we have for vaccinated people might not be there for unvaccinated people. So it's a very delicate balance how we go about it. But I think indeed people should be convinced that vaccination is the way out. Of course, there's also extensive testing besides the vaccination and social distancing, using the mouth mask and all these kind of things. And fortunately, we are facing a situation where in the not too distant future, also medicines, including antivirals and human monoclonal antibodies, will become available for early treatment. So although the situation looks quite serious at the moment with a new variant arising that we don't fully understand at the moment yet, it's still, there's a couple of good points at the horizon there.
Indeed. People, though, I think, Professor, are scared about what happens next, aren't they? Do you understand those fears?
Yeah, obviously, as long as we don't know. But I think, as was said before, again, we should not panic. And we have seen a lot of variants coming up. We have seen variants of concern. The previous one was the Delta variant. We don't even know to date whether the Omicron variant is going to take over. It could well be. And then to what extent the vaccines will protect, how fast it will spread, and what actually the final outcome will be. But the situation in the long term might well be similar to what we see, for instance, in influenza, where we have new viruses coming up all the time and in a seasonal way. And this virus also has a tendency to go seasonal. So it might well be that in the future that, especially for the risk groups, vaccination of risk groups against influenza could be combined with vaccination against COVID.
Professor, thank you very much indeed. Let's get another view from the EU, from Irène Tolle, MEP for Renew Europe. Emmanuel Macron, of course, enforcing a vaccine pass here in France, basically making it almost, not quite compulsory, but basically showing French people if they didn't get a jab, there were certain things they couldn't do, like go to a bar, go to a restaurant, go to a museum, go out and socialise, those kind of things. And that was very effective in getting the uptake here in France higher and higher, to now something like 88%, I believe, is the vaccine uptake, according to the app, which is we're all encouraged to switch on and carry with us, and in case we sort of bump into someone who perhaps has COVID-19, and this might tell us whether or not we need to self-isolate or not. My question to you is this something that perhaps should be put across the whole of the EU, this kind of idea? Is this something that would work? Given that the WHO is talking about some 500,000 extra deaths between now and April, and that was before the discovery of this new variant.
It's sure that the strategy that the President Emmanuel Macron with our health minister Olivier Véran has put has proven to be very effective, because the pass sanitaire, the COVID pass, has helped reopen the economy, but still managed to make sure that we didn't, the people are aware about what is happening and they keep social distancing. So it's very important. It also shows that closing borders is not the solution, and all the countries that try to do COVID zero strategies and have not come out of them, and they go for vaccination strategy. So I think the big message is get vaccinated. If you are not vaccinated, be responsible. Keep us, test yourself, keep social distancing. And we absolutely, if you value the humanity, then make sure that we produce vaccines so that all the planet is vaccinated, because we won't get out of this pandemic without that. 1 year ago, we didn't have a vaccine and we didn't know how to produce them in Europe. Now, the EU is the first producer of vaccine, the first exporter of vaccine, and the first donator of vaccine. So this means that we can, if we play like a rugby team. I come from a rugby region. If we all push in the together, we can win. But we need to increase the solidarity, because to get vaccines, you also need to have a seringue, all the logistics, and also the doctors to get the vaccination. And inside Europe, we have countries that have a low vaccination rate. So we need to have everything that works in order to stop the circulation of the virus and thus its mutation. But we urgently need a great surge of solidarity so that more countries outside the EU give more to COVAX.
Yeah, completely what you're saying. And I like that analogy with a rugby team. Montpellier beating Cast at the weekend, yes. I know, by a last-ditch try. I'm sure you enjoyed that one, Irene.
Yes.
Definitely. I can imagine you were smiling at that point in time. Let's come back to the studio and speak to Professor Vivienne Covis-Masfetti. I'm hearing those reassuring words, and part of me feels reassured. Part of me doesn't. And this is coming back to your psychiatrist's kind of like hat. Put that one on now and talk to us about that, because the effect on people, on kids, on families, on old people, on everybody, it's really hard to quantify, isn't it, the effect of the things that people are going through right now.
In fact, it's not so hard to quantify.
For you.
No. But we didn't. So let's talk about without quantity.
Okay.
I think, of course, for the children, it's mainly depend on their parents' reaction. Because, you know, as you know, children are very sensitive to their parents' reaction. So if the parents feel relatively safe, they will feel safe. And the reverse is true, sadly. I think we, as this has been said by one of the speakers, I mean, we passed through, you know, the variant, and, you know, it's not a new experience. It's not a brand new experience. I mean, we, since the beginning, the COVID was something frightening, but this person said 1 year ago, we didn't have any vaccine. So, you know, in fact...
We're in a better position today than we were a year ago.
Absolutely. And we know that the vaccine could be adapted. And we know that we couldn't have lockdown if really things were going very bad. So, you know, we know the method. We know what could happen. We do not have any information that the new variant is so severe. So, you know, we have some peace. So I think that people, you know, probably they're disappointed in the sense that, you know, they were hoping that we are going on and Christmas will be, you know, a normal Christmas. But on the other hand, everything that could happen has already been lived by the people. So, you know, I do not think it will be such a high level of anxiety.
This is more of the same rather than this new experience of last year when people were really worried about what would happen.
Yeah, because, okay. You know, you have to remind that, you know, it was a time where nobody knows. We do not have any vaccine. There were a lot of contradictory affirmation because, in fact, nobody knows. So that was really something.
Let me put that to Dr. Masupu in Gaborone, okay. In Botswana. Dr. Masupu, I hope you can still hear us. I know that Botswana has just opened a massive pipeline to take water to parts of southern Botswana that was struggling to get clean water and sanitation to people. Everyday things that people here in France and across Europe take for granted. For you, it was a real challenge in Botswana to do that. The idea of producing your own vaccine, is that just basically a jump too far? Is that something that at your point in time wouldn't be possible? Are you really reliant on other countries to bring you the vaccine you need?
Yes, sir. As one of the panelists here has presented, in terms of the vaccine coverage to improve on it, it remains very difficult when the production sites are limited and only located in the developed world or high-income countries. We are looking seriously, how could we be involved in the vaccine production so that we add to the global community of vaccines. But as a developing country, that is going to take some time. In the meantime, we need those that are available. But the long-term strategy where we aspire to be is one day not only detect, being among the first to detect the virus, but also being among the first or top in the production of high-quality, highly effective vaccines.
And would that be Africa's ultimate response, do you think, to be able to do that, to produce these things within their own borders, within each country's borders?
It will be, because Africa is made out of many countries. So obviously, a dialogue is ongoing at the moment. I'm sure that if it was possible for every nation to produce for themselves, that would be the most ideal. But however, these things come with cost. The lower the population of the various different states, the more costly per unit that might be. So grouping together or producing for a certain number of countries would be much more desired than just looking at one country. But in the main, if we can get some African countries producing, that will be much better. It will improve on the supply side of the vaccines, which at the moment is a limiting factor.
Dr. Kerem Masapu there in Gaborone, thank you so very much indeed. This will probably be the last comment and question. Professor Osterhaus, I'm giving it to you there in Hanover. I'm just seeing here cases in Sweden, cases in Spain, adding to what we've already been talking about. This is spreading. Your message, I think, is that things are unknown. We shouldn't panic. What should we do?
Well, I think what's happening at the moment is really finding out what really is the importance of this particular virus. And until we know, we have to take precautionary measures. You're really thinking about safety first, obviously. And so basically, I hope that indeed we will find out pretty soon what really the importance of this particular virus is in terms of spread, severity, but also vaccine coverage. So basically, is the vaccine going to work against it? We have the means in at least in Europe, but in many other countries in the world, and there's a big network there worldwide to monitor these viruses as they emerge. And that's another very, very important developments, yeah, so that we keep doing that and that we get as many data in as short a period as possible. I think that's quite important. And then obviously data about the vaccine, whether the vaccines protect properly against this variant. I'm relatively optimistic there, but it's good to have data. And then, of course, the most important thing is what we were discussing before, is indeed to make sure that the vaccination coverage that will go up also in the middle and lower income countries. I think that's an important message. And I'm very glad that the discussion we had at the end about local production of vaccines in areas like Africa, but also other middle income countries in the world. I think that at the end of the day should be the solution to this problem.
Professor Albert Osterhaus of Hanover University, their virologist, thank you, sir, very much indeed. Thank you to Anne Tolleray, MEP for Renew Europe, who joined us, sir, from Montpellier, victorious at the weekend against CAST. Thank you to Dr. Kerang Masupu, joining us from Habaroni in Botswana, the head of the Presidential Task Force Fighting COVID-19. And thanks to Vivian Covis-Massetti, professor of public health, psychiatrist and epidemiologist at McGill University and University of Paris. Thank you very much for joining us here in the studio. We appreciate your time and all your views. Thank you for watching as well. Stay with us. More to come. You're watching France 24.